بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: هذا جبريل يقرأ عليك السلام. قالت: قلت: وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. متفق عليه. This hadith which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought in the subheading on the chapter of Salam, dealing with the various etiquettes of Salam. In this particular section, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is discussing what Shariat refers to as an amanat. Allah Ta'ala commands us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah commands you that when you are given an amanat, a trust, then that particular amanat and trust has to be discharged. It's compulsory. Amongst the amanat and trust is when somebody requests you to convey their salams to someone. We dealt with this already. Just to recap, I mentioned this and I'm reiterating, and many of us are in this habit. By the moment you meet somebody who's from a certain town, certain place, somebody we know, oh, give my salams, give my salams, give my salams, convey my salams. We don't realize that we are making it wajib upon that person. We are creating an actual burden for that person, because he now has to discharge that salam. So it's better to say that if you meet so and so, or someone mentions about me, or certain relative of mine mentions me to you, then please convey my salams to you. Make it a little bit easier for the person. However, one exit clause that ulama have given is that if somebody asks you convey salam, then say inshallah. Because then they say that if for whatever reason you are unable to discharge it, then you will not be held responsible if you had said inshallah. Now when the salams are conveyed to you, for example, it is said so and so sends salam for you, what should be the response? So from that, we learned from this riwayat which we mentioned. There was just one more point in this particular riwayat which we had left out because of time constraints the last time. The narrator is Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, Hada Jibreel. Aisha, this is Jibreel. Yaqra'u alayki salam. He is conveying salams to you. In other words, Jibreel has requested me, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to convey his salams to you. Aisha says, "Qalat qultu." I said, "Wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu." I said, "And may salams be upon him, and Allah's mercy and barakat and blessings." So the etiquette we learn. Somebody says, so and so conveyed salam to you, wa alayhi salam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First, return the salam in the most superior form if possible. Wa alayhi salam is sufficient, but to say wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as we mentioned previously, in keeping with the verse of the Quran, wa idha huyitum bi tahiyya, fa hayyu bi ahsana minha. Allah says, if anybody makes salam to you, return the salam bi ahsana minha, better than the salam that he sent you. He said, Assalamu alaikum. You say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. Or if he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, add wa barakatuhu to the end. Ahsana minha. Return it in a better way. Or rudduha. Ahsana minha mustahab. Virtuous. Rudduha compulsory. Return it equally. In other words, Wa alayhi salam is sufficient. Ulama mentioned that you can add Wa alayka wa alayhi salam. In other words, salam to you also, the one who is conveying on behalf of that person, and salam to that person on whose behalf you have conveyed it. Under the purview of this, as we mentioned previously, somebody is reading an email, and when somebody has received a letter, and there it is mentioned, somebody is making salam to you, there also ulama say to verbally respond to that salam is compulsory. Because that is a form of using some means to convey salams to you. The point which last time we ran out of time, in this particular very interesting point ulama ikram raised, the ihtiram and the honor that Islam has afforded, particularly to protecting the chastity of women. Hadha Jibril. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began this riwayat, he addressed Aisha. Hadha Jibril. Now Hadha Jibril is this type of Hadha in Arabic is what we call Ishara Qareeb. Ishara Qareeb, in other words, something is very near, right here in front. Then you use the word Hadha. Otherwise it is Dhalika. In other words, Dhalika is something far away. Hadha is something right in front of you. So by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using this expression, Hadha Jibril, Aisha, this is Jibril. It means Jibril was right there. So the question arises, why didn't Jibril himself directly say the salam? Why did he ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey his salam when he is right there? Normally, you tell somebody to convey your salam because you're absent, you're somewhere else. So the point Ulama Ikram mentioned is Aisha was part of the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the culture of Islam that Islam advocates when it comes particularly to our women folk, our masturat, is that of concealment. Preserve their dignity and their honor. And no one's wife should be directly addressed. No one's wife should be engaged in some sort of conversation. Today, pagalpana, the zamana of foolishness and idiocy, become such, people are introducing their wives to their friends. This is my wife, shake hand, how you? Somebody gets offended if the wife is not introduced. This is not the culture of Islam. Islam is satari, is to conceal. Islam is to preserve the dignity and honor of women. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he says to Sahaba, Ra'aytu qasran fil jannah, I saw a beautiful palace in Jannat. Some riwayats, it comes the description of that palace. Of rubies, emeralds, diamonds, pearls. Such a shandar, beautiful palace, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw. That the shock came into me to enter this palace, to see this beautiful palace. I saw an angel at the entrance, so I asked, whose palace is this? So like I said, various riwayat, but the crux of it, قِيلَ لِي إِنَّهُ لِفَتَى مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. The angel said it belongs to a Qurayshi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am a Qurayshi. He was from the Quraysh tribe. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لِي. I thought it was for me. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَدْخُلَهَا. فَذَهَبْتُ أَنْ أَدْخُلَهَا. I was about to enter. And it was said to me, إِنَّهَا لِعُمَرَ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. This palace, obviously palace, home, there'll be masturat, there'll be a household. So it was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this palace belongs to Umar bin Khattab, your follower, your ummati Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, immediately I didn't enter. Why? Because I thought of the ghairat of Umar. The ghairat, I've mentioned this many times before, this is a word that it's amongst the terminology of Shariat that unfortunately there is no English parallel for it or equivalent for it. But in other words, the ghairat, the dignity, the honor of Umar, to preserve the sanctity, to preserve the sanctity of the household of Umar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, purer, cleaner heart than that you can't find, said that I did not enter that palace. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, he started crying. And he said, Alayka aghar ya Rasulullah. How could I possibly have objected to your entering my household? So this preservation of ghairat, of dignity, of honor, this is, ulama ikram say, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exercised in this instance also. Where he said, where Jibreel conveys his salams to Aisha, but through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that, ulama kiram mentioned, هَذَا أَبْلَغْ فِي فَضْلِ عَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهَا إِذَا احْتَرَمَهَا جِبْرِيلِ أَلَّذِي لَا شَهْوَةَ لَهُ حِفْظًا لِقَلْبِ سَيِّدِ الْأُمَّةِ صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ما قيل فيها من الإفك أبعد. عجيب point ulama kiram make, that who's in this particular instance, whose غيرت and dignity and honor and prestige is being preserved? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And here you have an angel, Jibreel. A malaika. Malaika, the essence of shahwat is not there. Allah ta'ala has removed it from the angels. They don't have this shahwat and desire. Because of shahwat and desire that is there in human beings, we have these hudud and limitations that Shariat places to protect us, to protect the household, etc. Malaika are free of that. لَا يَعْسُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُمَرُونَ. An angel does not have the capability of disobeying Allah Ta'ala. There is no essence of desire to commit wrong or anything in an angel. So in Jibreel, where there is no shahwat, in his case, the ihtiram and honor of Aisha is preserved like this. And how can it ever be possible that lie and that buhtan and that slander that was initiated against Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this instance, an angel who doesn't have shahwat, Allah ta'ala, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is demonstrated through this incident, that the ihtiram and honor of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is preserved. And how can it even be imagined or even thought that it is possible such a negative thing about our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا تكلم بكلمة عادها ثلاثا حتى تفهم عنه، وإذا أتى على قوم فسلم عليهم سلم عليهم ثلاثا. رواه البخاري. وهذا محمول على ما إذا كان الجمع كثيرا. Very little time, but we'll begin the next riwayat. This riwayat some chapters back, it passed already. So we won't be going into too much of detail, but it is pertinent to the etiquettes of salam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would speak, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَعَادَهَا ثَلَاثًا, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat himself three times. Whenever he would speak, he would repeat himself three times, حَتَّى تُفْهَمَ عَنْ, until whoever was being spoken to fully and clearly comprehended what he said. This is the first part of the hadith. Like I said, it passed before, but there's very, very important lesson to learn in this. Many of us, people accuse us of this. We have to be careful. This is again sunnah. When you speak, you must speak clearly. Don't speak ambiguously. Don't speak in such a way that you confuse people. And don't unnecessarily extend your speech. Speak too long or speak too short. Because what is the object of speech? Why are you speaking to someone? Tufhama an, it's mentioned in the riwayat. So that that person makes faham, understands what you said. So it is important, part of the etiquette of sunnah of speaking, that speak in such a way that somebody can understand and comprehend what you are saying. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُ. Allah said, we made the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam masters in the language. Why? Because they had a message, they had to convey that message. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُ, they had to make bayan, explain to humanity the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was important. The way you present, you speak, the way you speak, speak clearly, speak articulately. Speak in such a way, somebody don't have to ask you 10 times, what you said. Some of us, we try to develop this twang and the style of speaking where you confuse the person that you are speaking to. Shall we continue smiling?